Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Astroport details plans for Moon Yard. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Astroport Space Technologies aims to be part of future lunar missions, and the company wants Midlanders along for the ride. Quote, "I want to be part of the lunar infrastructure. I want to send stuff to the moon," said Don Hooper, planetary geologist for the San Antonio-based company, as he addressed members of the Midland chapter of SIPES. Astroport has acquired land near Midland International Air and Spaceport for the construction of a moon yard. Hooper said there are still a lot of proposed designs for the yard, but it would have an outdoor lunar test bed that allow for the testing of robots used in different activities. An indoor facility would include research, testing in various temperatures, as well as training. Hooper said the company is always seeking partners for its efforts to develop its moon yard and technology to manufacture materials and construct lunar infrastructure, such as lunar landing pads. Astroport has received funding from NASA for those efforts as part of NASA's Artemis mission for returning to the moon. The University of Texas Permian Basin is now part of the program, he reported. He pointed out that the Moon Yard can offer educational and research and developmental opportunities through support from the WEX Foundation and Kelly Heritage Foundation. The company is also looking at a second Moon Yard with a different focus near its San Antonio offices at the Port of San Antonio. Hooper said there is the possibility Astroport could build additional moon yards. For now, the company is focused on lunar landing pads, testing technology to turn lunar soil, known as regoliths, into bricks used to construct the landing pads and also as pathways to habitats. The brick bots that would be tested at the Midland Moon Yard would serve three purposes: excavate and convey the soil, sieve and filter the soil, and then melt the soil, shape it into bricks, and place and bond them. The moon could be a source of iron and titanium. Lunar habitat could also include hotels to support tourism and serve as a gateway to manned missions to Mars, Hooper said. Spin-offs from Astroport's work could benefit the oil and gas industry by helping develop remote sensing, satellite imagery, and environmental monitoring, increased accuracy and efficiency in robotics and automation, and advanced materials and manufacturing technology, according to Hooper. What's that going to be on State Highway 191? The story was written by B. K. Richter. What that's going to be at State Highways 191 and 158 in Midland? If you like fast Chinese cuisine, you're in luck. CFTNV Developments of Las Vegas, which is affiliated with Panda Restaurant Group, is bringing a Panda Express restaurant to 6402 State Highway 191. According to Kirk Searcy of Laramie Investments, a Dallas-based firm handling the leasing of the available retail pad sites, construction on the site is underway, but a completion date has not been announced. Quote, "It will most likely be finished by next year," he told the Reporter Telegram Wednesday morning. "We love your market," he said, while explaining that there are 10 retail pad sites slated for the area. Searcy, the The Acquisitions and Development Coordinator for Laramie, said 16 acres are available. Quote, "These are all retail sites and national brands expected to be in the space," he said during a previous interview. Recently, Panda Express has changed its store model to comply with customer behaviors. The Asian restaurant chain is now accommodating an increased demand for not only online orders, but drive-through orders as well. Panda Express is one of the largest family-owned and operated Asian dining concepts within the U.S. The restaurant brand has more than 2,500 locations. This is the second location for the Midland market and the third store in the Midland-Odessa area. Slight possibility of weekend rain in Midland. The story was written by Trevor Hawes, editorial director. It's starting to feel more like fall in Midland, and it's possible rain will fall this weekend. Quote, "There is a low-pressure system passing through that will bring about some clouds and a potential for showers in the Permian Basin," said meteorologist Chris Stickney of the National Weather Service office in Midland. The forecast calls for a slight chance of isolated showers Friday and early Saturday, with rain chances picking up again in the evening. Showers are possible after 1 p.m. Sunday. If the area does see rain, don't expect too much to fall, Stickney said. Quote, "The best chances of rain are north of Midland and Odessa, and for these areas that do see rain, a couple spots could see up to a quarter inch of precipitation," adding that he doesn't anticipate strong storms developing. The Tall City has been noticeably cooler this week, and that trend will carry into the weekend. Thursday is forecast to be sunny with a high of 73 degrees, with skies becoming partly cloudy in the evening with a low of 59. Friday will be mostly cloudy with a high of 70 and a low of 62. Saturday and Sunday will see similar temperatures. Midland could use the rain. Heavy rains in September brought Midland County out of drought for the first time in 3 years. However, the county has recently been marked as abnormally dry, according to a recent Reporter Telegram report. An abnormally dry rating sits just below moderate drought, per the U.S. Drought Monitor. Year-to-date, the National Weather Service has recorded 10.33 inches of precipitation as of Wednesday, a bit below the normal of 11.72 inches. Lubbock has rain chances between 30 and 40% all weekend. Head further north up to Amarillo, and the chance of precipitation rises. Highs will be in the upper 60s. Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, it will be mostly sunny most days, though there's a 20% chance of showers in the early evening. Dallas will be sunny during the day and mostly clear in the evening, with highs in the low 80s. Houston will see similar weather. Three fun activities in Midland this Saturday. The story was written by B.K. Richter, staff writer. From showing off a new book-inspired tattoo, to enjoying a musical recital, to participating in a local Halloween-inspired event, there are three fun things to do in Midland this Saturday. Bookish Tattoo Day. Love Affair Bookstore, 1000 North Midkiff Road, will be hosting tattoo artists from Company Inc. Tattoo Studio. Guests can expect refreshments and giveaways during the event. The event is slated from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Saturday at the bookstore. Company Inc. will be doing small bookish tattoos. Anything large or complex can be booked with one of their artists to be completed in another location. Guests can expect small 2x2-inch tattoos for $50, no color. There will be flashcards for guests to choose from, or guests can bring their own. This will be on a first-come, first-served basis. West Texas Winds Fall Recital. The West Texas Winds Fall Recital is scheduled for 5 p.m. Saturday at the Wagner Noel Ray Greathouse Recital Hall, 1310 Farm to Market Road, 1788 in Midland. The performance will feature Peter Schickley's A Year in the Catskills, Johann Sebastian Bach's Concerto No. 2 after Vivaldi, and Heinrich Kaspar Schmidt's Woodwind Quintet, Opus 28. Performers for the recital include Karen Crutchfield, Chris Chance, Philip Hill, Lindsay Ivan, Sonia K. Millenchamp, and Scott Millenchamp. General admission tickets are $25 for adults and $12 for students. Midland YMCA Monster Bash. The Midland YMCA Monster Bash is slated to run 5 to 9 p.m. Saturday at the YMCA Midland, 800 North Big Spring Street. Guests can expect the nonprofit's annual carnival and should come dressed to impress with the family. Tickets are $10 per person. However, guests ages 2 and younger can enter for free. A silent disco, a spook house, pumpkin painting, face painting, bingo, music, an obstacle course, and a mad scientist will be part of the event's featured entertainment. For more information, go to the Midland YMCA's website. TxDOT says 1 in 4 traffic deaths occur in oil and gas regions. The story was written by B.K. Richter. 1 in 4 Texas traffic deaths occur in oil and gas regions where large trucks and heavy tankers are common. For drivers on the roads in the Permian Basin, the oil and gas production areas can prove both challenging and dangerous. Quote, when motorists share the road with large trucks, they may encounter limited visibility and wear and tear on road surfaces, requiring extra vigilance to navigate around road hazards, the Texas Department of Transportation said in a press release. TxDOT is launching its Be Safe, Drive Smart campaign, which urges motorists to stay alert and drive at a safe speed in the state's oil and gas regions. Quote, in 2023, more than 80,000 traffic crashes occurred in the state's 5 main energy sectors, the Permian Basin, Eagle Ford Shale, Barnett Shale, Anadarko Basin, and the Haynesville-Bossier Shale, resulting in 1,081 fatalities and 3,500 serious injuries last year, TxDOT said. TxDOT said that the 1,081 fatalities that occurred last year accounted for 25% of the state's total traffic fatalities in 2023. TxDOT also estimates 26,700 traffic crashes in the 49-county Permian Basin, resulting in 365 fatalities and 966 serious injuries in 2023. Failure to control speed and driver inattention were both ranked as the top 2 contributing factors in crashes in the 5 main energy regions. Safety tips. TxDOT offers these important safety reminders to help prevent crashes in oil and gas areas. Drive at a safe speed. Follow posted speed limits and adjust your driving to match road conditions. Stay alert and focus 100% on driving. That means putting your phone away, no talking or texting while behind the wheel. Give large trucks plenty of space. be patient, and pass trucks only when it's safe and legal to do so. Maintain a safe following distance. Tailgating is a common factor contributing to traffic crashes. Avoid trucks' blind spots. If you can't see the truck driver in the truck's side mirror, the driver can't see you or your vehicle. Never drive under the influence of alcohol or other drugs. Even one drink is enough to impair your judgment. Obey all stop signs and traffic signals. Always buckle up. That includes drivers and passengers, day and night, and every ride. To help get the word out, TxDOT's Be Safe, Drive Smart campaign includes an interactive traffic safety exhibit at high school football games within the Permian Basin and Eagle Ford. The mobile exhibit will feature quizzes, games, and video displays that remind motorists to slow down and stay focused when driving in energy regions. Be Safe, Drive Smart is a part of hashtag EndTheStreakTX, TxDOT's broader social media and word-of-mouth effort that encourages drivers to make safer choices while behind the wheel to help end the streak of daily deaths. November 7, 2000 was the last deathless day on Texas roadways. Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, October 17th. Brenda Willingham, age 68, of Midland, passed away peacefully on October 13th, surrounded by her loving family. The viewing will be held at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home on Thursday, October 17th, from 12 p.m. until 9 p.m. A funeral service will be held on Friday, October 18th, at 10 a.m. at One Hope Church of Christ, located at 2503 West Ohio in Midland. Brenda Willingham was born in Midland, Texas in 1956 to Annie Lucille Patterson and Thomas Jr. Patterson, both of whom have preceded her in death. She was married to the love of her life, Leon Willingham, who also preceded her in death. Brenda is survived by her two living sons, James Lloyd Willingham of Midland, and his wife Christy Willingham, and Lonnie Dale Willingham of Blackwell, Texas, and his wife Christy Adams Willingham. She was preceded in death by her beloved son Kevin Wayne Willingham. She is also survived by her siblings, Tommy Joe Patterson, Paula Sue Harrison, married to Kevin Harrison, and Trish Robles, married to Roland Robles. Brenda was preceded in death by her brothers, Milton Wayne Patterson, who was married to Rebecca Patterson, and Ronnie Glenn Patterson, who was married to Rhonda Quick Patterson. Additionally, she was preceded in death by her sister-in-law, Barbara Patterson. Brenda was a proud grandmother to nine grandchildren. She also had five great-grandchildren. Brenda was a cancer survivor, and in lieu of flowers, you may donate to Gifts of Hope, 2006 West Tennessee Avenue, Midland, Texas, 79701. Sherman Allen Cox, age 96, of Midland, passed away on Monday, October 14th. A visitation will be from 12 noon to 5 p.m. on Thursday, October 17th, at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Graveside service will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, October 19th, at Garden of Memories Cemetery in Sweetwater, Texas. Sherman was born in 1928 in DeKalb, Texas, to Augustus and Mary Cox. He attended school through the eighth grade, then withdrew to work on the family cotton farm. He served in the United States Navy, was a former police officer and pro wrestler in Lubbock, a restaurateur, owner of Cox's Auto in Odessa, owner of the original Texas Burger on Wadley in Midland, and was a past president of the Permian Basin chapter of the Texas Restaurant Association and a former two-term city councilman in Odessa. Sherman is survived by his children, Gary D. Cox and his wife Jane of San Angelo, Cindy Purdy and husband Richard of Midland, and Shelley Cox of Midland. His brother Bobby D. Cox and wife Leona of Fort Worth. He is also survived by several grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and numerous nieces and nephews. Sherman is preceded to death by his wife, Sandra Cox, parents, Augustus and Mary Cox, three sisters, Edith Sellers, Cora Ellis, Mary Kinney, and a granddaughter, Robbie Hasty. Flowers may be sent to McCoy's funeral home in Sweetwater, Texas. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Bonnie L. Livingston, age 66, of Midland, passed away on Monday, October 7th. A memorial service is set for Saturday, October 19th at 1 p.m., at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Arrangements have been entrusted to Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit the website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, October 17th. Blow up with sister comes at worst possible time. Dear Abby, my out-of-state sister is facing major life-threatening surgery. Even though she isn't well, I asked to visit her a few days prior to a family reunion, and she agreed. While I was there, I noticed she was irritable and sharp-tongued, more so than she usually is. I let it go. However, on the morning of the reunion, as we were getting ready to go, she turned her anger on me, screaming and yelling at me and making all kinds of accusations. I'm sorry to say that after repeated statements, I started shouting back. When I regained my composure, I apologized to her for everything she said I had done as a guest. Then I packed my bags and went to stay at another family member's home. At the reunion, she was sweet and nice to everyone, but, of course, our conversation was minimal. I'm home now, but at a loss as to what to do next. I already apologized, but the silence from her is deafening. She has always been headstrong, argumentative, and self-righteous, but she's my only sibling, and I love her. I'm not perfect either, but I can't help but think that an apology from her is the only way we can move forward. Agree? Signed, Brother, who lives in Illinois. Dear brother, no, I do not agree. Your sister is very ill. The treatment is life-threatening. In this situation, many people are not at their best. Do not demand or expect an apology from her. Call, text, or write her to tell her you love her and wish her well in the coming weeks and months, and that she is in your thoughts. In a case like this, a dose of selective amnesia on your part might be beneficial. Dear Abby, I recently found out my 32-year-old distant cousin, male, on my dad's side, has been flirting with my mom on Facebook Messenger. For the record, my parents have been divorced for 18 years. I saw this when I was helping Mom set up her new phone, and she received one of the messages. She has asked him to stop, but he keeps sending messages that start with, "Hey, beautiful," "Hey, most beautiful lady in the world," and "Hey, hot stuff." He says he wants to take her on a date and kiss her, even if it's just once. I know I was wrong for doing this, but I decided to review the whole conversation and other conversations from previous Facebook accounts my cousin has had. These messages go back 2 years, including when he was in another relationship. Neither my mom nor my cousin knows that I know about these messages. I am reluctant to confront my cousin because of how I found out, and I want to avoid causing embarrassment for my mom from that side of the family. But I feel he needs to be held accountable and to know that this is not okay. What should I do? Signed, Knows Too Much in Wisconsin. Dear Knows, your mother is an adult and presumably in her right mind. If she didn't enjoy the attention, she could block the messages. My advice is to stop snooping and stay out of it. Dear Abby is written by Abigail Van Buren, also known as Jean Phillips, and was founded by her mother, Pauline Phillips. Contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or Post Office Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. USDA offers Texas farmers financial aid through EQIP. The story was written by B. K. Richter. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Natural Resources Conservation Service, or NRCS, in Texas announced financial assistance opportunities for agricultural producers and landowners through the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, known as EQIP. While NRCS accepts conservation program applications year-round, producers and landowners are encouraged to apply by November 8th to be considered for fiscal year 2025 funding. Additionally, NRCS Texas will use the Act Now process for some EQIP funding pools. With the Act Now program, NRCS can immediately approve and obligate a ranked application when an eligible application meets or exceeds a determined minimum ranking score. Quote, EQIP provides financial and technical assistance to agricultural producers and forest landowners to address natural resource concerns, the USDA said in a press release. Quote, we, that is, NRCS, work one-on-one with producers to develop a conservation plan that outlines conservation practices and activities to help solve on-farm resource issues. Producers implement practices and activities in their conservation plan that can lead to cleaner water and air, healthier soil, and better wildlife habitat, all while improving their agricultural operations, end quote. Leo Carrillo, a Midland-based supervisor for NRCS, said that the benefit of producers applying for the program is mainly the cost savings. Quote, it would help with their producer costs, he told the reporter Telegram. For example, the program would help cover 50% of the cost of installing a water line or pump line, end quote. Carrillo said the EQIP program is helpful for a beginning farmer and rancher. Quote, It is a benefit for new producers, he said. A rancher that has been ranching for 10 or more years received 50% of the cost savings versus ranchers that have been ranching for 5 years or more receive 75% of the cost savings, end quote. According to the USDA, the Inflation Reduction Act, EQIP, will offer core conservation practices that improve soil carbon, reduce nitrogen losses, or reduce, capture, avoid, or sequester carbon dioxide, methane, or nitrous oxide emissions that are associated with agricultural production. EQIP Conservation Incentive Contracts, or CIC, are said to expand resource benefits for Texas producers through incentive conservation practices such as wildlife management, cover crops, nutrient management, conservation crop rotations, and prescribed grazing. Additionally, EQIP-CIC allows producers to target priority resource concerns on their property by offering incentive payments for a 5-year contract without needing to enroll the entire operation into the program, USDA said in a statement. For more details, visit the NRCS Texas website. Additionally, producers can contact the local USDA Service Center located at 1509 West Wall Street, Suite 106 in Midland, phone 432-684-8722. Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, October 10th. Wilma Lauderdale, age 77 of Sunset, Texas, and recently Midland, Texas, passed away on Monday, October 7th. Services will be held at 10 a.m. on Saturday, October 12th, at the White Family Funeral Home in Bowie. Burial will follow at Sunset Cemetery in Sunset, Texas. Family will receive friends from 6 to 8 p.m. on Friday, October 11th, at the White Family Funeral Home. Wilma was born on February 6, 1947, in Bowie, to Lloyd and Melba Romine. She married the love of her life, Otho Eugene Lauderdale, in 1969. They enjoyed 48 years of life together. Wilma spent her life helping others and taking care of her family. Her family was her top priority. She went above and beyond to ensure their needs were met. She worked at Walmart for 22 years in various roles in Bowie. She is preceded in death by her parents, her husband Otho Jean Lauderdale, sisters Mary Jones, brother Joe Romine, and grandson Aaron Goer. Wilma is survived by her daughter Debbie Dorr and her husband Mike of Timpson, son Richard Lauderdale and wife Miranda of Midland, grandsons David Dorr of Timpson and Jacob Lauderdale of Abilene. Other survivors include brothers Thomas Doyle, Lloyd Jr., and Lonnie Ramin, sisters Laureen Beasley and Marie Alred, niece Michelle Smith of Bowie, and numerous other nieces, nephews, and cousins. In lieu of flowers, please consider donating to a charity of your choice or to the American Diabetes Association. Arrangements are entrusted to the White Family Funeral Home of Bowie. Jimmy Lee Smith passed away on October 7th. A celebration of Jimmy's life will be held on October 12th at Visionary Hollowell Community United Methodist Church at 11 a.m. Friends and family are invited to come together to remember and honor the remarkable life of a man who gave so much and asked for so little in return. Jimmy Lee Smith's presence will be deeply missed, but his spirit will live on in the hearts of all who were fortunate to know him. His memory will forever be a source of comfort and inspiration to his loved ones. Rest in peace, Jimmy. You will always be remembered and cherished. Alberto F. Gutierrez, age 79 of Midland, passed away on Saturday, October 5th. Viewing will be Friday, October 11th, and Saturday, October 12th, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. A Bible talk will be Saturday, October 12th, at 6 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements have been entrusted to Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit the website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Roland Prado Salinas, age 67 of Midland, passed away on Thursday, October 3rd. Mass will be celebrated on Thursday, October 10th at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine and Parish, 1401 Garden Lane, followed by interment at Resthaven Memorial Park. Arrangements have been entrusted to Ellis Funeral Home. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Patricia Ann Brookshire Gilly, age 73, passed away on Tuesday, October 1st, in Midland. A celebration of life will be held Saturday, October 19th, at 11 a.m. at Heart of Worship Ministries, located at 1306 East Taylor Avenue in Midland. Arrangements have been entrusted to Ellis Funeral Home. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, October 10th. Guests let their dirty dog sleep in the bed. Dear Abby, I own a lake cabin and enjoy hosting friends and relatives. Even though I don't have a pet myself, I like animals and don't mind if people ask to bring their dogs because the ground floor is linoleum that's easy to clean when the inevitable sand and water get tracked in. Last year, I invited my niece and her husband to spend the weekend, and they showed up with their large, long-haired dog. Even though they hadn't asked in advance, I didn't have a problem with it until it was time to go to bed. They brought their dog to bed with them in the upstairs guest room. I was so surprised I didn't know what to say. Dogs have never gone upstairs before, much less rolled around in the bed. They have either slept downstairs on their own, or their owners brought crates or had the dogs sleep in their cars. After the couple left, I had to deep clean the room to remove the dog hair, including dusting, vacuuming, it is carpeted, and washing all the bed linens, comforter, shams, throws, etc. I usually just spiff up the room and change the sheets in preparation for the next visitors. Abby, this couple is coming to the cabin again, and I assume they still have the dog. Should I broach the subject after setting a precedent during their last visit, or resign myself to the extra cleaning? My relationship with this niece is cordial, but slightly strained due to some past family history. So what's more important, relationships or a clean room? Signed, Cabin Host in Minnesota. Dear host, they are both important. You can clean up a room, but you can't repair a severed relationship as easily. That said, avoid this dilemma in the future by explaining your house rules to your niece before she, her husband, and her dog come to the cabin again. Ideally, it should have been done when you and your niece discussed her visiting a second time. Dear Abby, a friendship of 40 years has fallen apart because he refuses to stand up for himself to his wife. She has dominated him throughout their many decades of marriage. Like any narcissist, she managed to isolate him from his family and move him to remote places where he knew no one. Now she is terminally ill and refusing to allow him to move where his family could help him care for her. His family and I feel the same. Like any narcissist, she has also turned him against me. Along the way, they have made terrible and troubling financial decisions. It is too painful to watch, so I've withdrawn from the friendship rather than support these bad decisions. Was that the right thing to do? Signed, former friend in Iowa. Dear former friend, yes, it was the right thing to do. Because your friend's wife still controls who may be in contact with her husband, even in her weakened condition, you had little choice but to step back. Once she passes, offer support to him. He is going to need it. Dear Abby is written by Abigail Van Buren, also known as Jean Phillips, and was founded by her mother, Pauline Phillips. Contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or Post Office Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Oil Report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, October 12th. Mental health issues in oil industry cost $200 billion annually. Financial losses come from reduced productivity, high employee turnover. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Bruises, scrapes, even broken bones are visible signs of the risks of working in the oil patch. Less visible, however, are the mental risks. Accidents and injuries affect not only the well-being of employees, but a company's financial health, Daniel Radebaugh, chief strategy officer at Accelerated Construction Unlimited, told members of the Permian Basin STEPS, Service, Transmission, and Exploration and Production Safety Network, at their monthly meeting this week. He estimated the cost to businesses to be about $200 billion annually. The financial losses come from reduced productivity, high employee turnover, or the loss of skilled labor is a direct result of unmanaged mental health challenges, he said. He told those in attendance, the oil and gas industry must develop a similar mindset in addressing mental health as it does when it comes to addressing physical health in terms of prevention and support. Radebaugh offered some stark statistics when it comes to mental health and the oil industry. 19% of oil and gas workers experience psychological disorders. 1 in 5 experience depression, anxiety, and/or substance abuse. The suicide rate for oil field service workers is 54.2 per 100,000 workers. Nearly 15% of oil and gas workers report substance abuse problems, higher than the national workforce average. 86% of workers said company culture should support mental health. He also listed several causes: long work hours, remote and isolated work environment, high physical demand, workplace culture, being away from family, high stress environment, no mental outlet for relief. Quote, The volatility of the industry leads to employment uncertainty and financial stress, he added. Layoffs fuel anxiety and depression, end quote. Radebaugh also offered several solutions to strengthen mental health among oil field employees. Create a culture of support. Encourage open dialogue about mental health. Company leaders should be engaged on the issue. Implement an employee wellness program regarding mental health. Raise awareness through management training. Provide preventative care and wellness checkups. Promote a work-life balance. Realize it is a problem. Quote, map out mental health resources within your company and community. Identify stress triggers in the workforce and brainstorm potential coping strategies, he advised. BCCK Carbon Clean team up for U.S. carbon capture solutions. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Midland-based BCCK and Carbon Clean are teaming up to provide carbon capture solutions to customers across the U.S. BCCK has long been known for its nitrogen rejection technology, Kevin Blount, BCCK Chief Executive Officer, said. Quote, what Carbon Clean's technology will do is let us build on that based on our expertise, he told the reporter Telegram. Levi Quinn, Carbon Clean's Chief Delivery and Supply Chain Officer, agreed, saying BCCK brings its experience in engineering, fabrication, installation, and field construction, along with its clientele and reputation, while his company brings amine-based technology that captures and removes carbon dioxide from the atmosphere at the point of emission. Quote, if we're going to be in the U.S., let's fabricate in the U.S., he said. Blount said Carbon Clean had developed a comprehensive spreadsheet of industries, and 58 of those potential targets are in our space. Quote, it's certainly a significant target market, and it helps if we've already got those contacts, he said. He said customers want reassurance about the technology. Quote, imagine a friendly face, someone you're familiar with, like BCCK, he said. Quinn said his company has a goal of capturing 1 billion tons of carbon dioxide. Quote, the best way is to form partnerships with companies that are like-minded, he said, adding that everyone has a role in addressing emissions. The two will collaborate in providing Carbon Clean's semi-modular CaptureX technology across the U.S. Priority sectors, in addition to oil and gas production, include gas processing, air separation, power generation, landfill gas, biogas, and hydrogen. Texas Tech law students visit Midland to learn energy law firsthand. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Law school students taking field trips is not a typical law school function, acknowledges Bill Keffer with the Texas Tech University School of Law. He has brought students to Midland for 15 years and brought 20 students to the tall city at the end of September. The purpose of the trips is twofold, he explained to the reporter Telegram. First, he wants to equip and prepare his students for what's going on in the real world and to be fully informed in all forms of energy. The trip to Midland, where they visited the Petroleum Museum and a Fasken Oil and Ranch drill site, lets them put on hard hats and fire retardant coveralls and actually see a drilling rig in operation. It better equips them to practice energy law, he explained. He said He has had to provide remedial education on oil and gas with his students, who aren't really aware of how the industry works, why they should be interested in oil and gas law, or why the world shouldn't eliminate oil and natural gas. Quote, "They have no understanding of the importance of oil and gas to the economy," he said. "They come to me at the end of the semester and say they just didn't know. They leave with a better appreciation of the importance of the industry." End quote. The second purpose is to expose the students to life in Midland and Odessa in the hopes they would be interested in practicing law in a smaller city. Quote, "It's a great way to open their eyes and get them excited and interested in Midland, Odessa. It's fun to see the light bulbs come on," he said. That is one reason his field trips have drawn the support of and participation of local energy attorneys. Students had dinner at the Petroleum Club, courtesy of Diamondback Energy and Bill Carraway, and listened to comments from Rob Crumpler of Davis, Gerald and Creamer, Julie Shelton of Kelly Hart and Hallman, John Stretcher with ConocoPhillips, and Lacey Stretcher with EOG Resources. After touring the museum, students were treated to a lunch catered by Max Barbecue, courtesy of Cotton Bledsoe, Ty, and Dawson. Speakers included David Larritson with Cotton Bledsoe, Shane Stokes with Lynch Chapel and Alsop, Anna Brandel with Kelly Hart and Hallman, and Kevin Kolpois with Brockett and McNeil. Keffer said the students learned that Midland has a young population of young singles, young families, and young professionals. Quote, "They find it interesting and exciting, which invariably results in students pursuing area jobs with local firms," he said. Keffer was a practicing attorney in Dallas with 30 years of experience when he was hired as an oil and gas law professor at Texas Tech in 2014. Quote, "I knew right off the bat it made sense for Texas Tech to be recognized as a premier energy law school because it's the only law school in proximity to the Permian Basin, where the action is," he said. He formed an advisory group comprised of about 25 alumni, and one mentioned that Cotton Bledsoe used to host field trips. He said he asked if they were interested in doing so again and was met with enthusiasm. APA Corporation and Palantir extend partnership, introduce AI capabilities. The story was written by Mellon McEwen, oil editor. After 3 years of working together, APA Corporation, parent of Apache Corporation, and Palantir Technologies have expanded their partnership, announcing a multi-year, multi-million dollar extension to their enterprise agreement. Not only does this new agreement expand on the work deployed across APA's global portfolio, it introduces new artificial intelligence capabilities with Palantir's Artificial Intelligence Platform, or AIP, software. The partnership has been extended for 4 years, according to Matt Babin, Palantir's head of energy and natural resources. He said the company has had an exclusive arrangement with BP until 2020, when it began working with other companies, including APA. Quote, "By leveraging artificial intelligence, Apache can more accurately monitor, analyze, and report emissions data, optimize supply chain logistics, and make better informed decisions about reservoir management, ultimately enhancing operational efficiency and sustainability." Apache's partnership with Palantir underscores the company's commitment to utilizing AI to help solve critical operational challenges. Travis Osborne, Apache's vice president and chief information officer, told the Reporter Telegram. Babin told the Reporter Telegram the company's platform allows the user to cover the entire supply chain or to narrow it to specifics, such as one well or a fleet of compressors. The software has been used in applications as varied as operational planning, supply chain management, maintenance planning, production optimization, and contract management. Quote, "We released AIP about 18 months ago last summer," Babin said. "The idea was we built the software to harness models long-term. We built out the nouns and verbs of the business, well pads, wells, stations, trucks, facilities, gathering stations, so it could schedule trucks or see the battery levels at a well," end quote. The platform enables customers to leverage everything in the model, but constrains them using ontology languages, which are used in artificial intelligence and computer science, to allow for the specification of classes, properties, and restrictions, and often include reasoning rules to support knowledge processing. Quote, "AIP will decode a question and answer it based on training data," Babin explained. "If you ask which wells in the Permian Basin are producing lower than expected, lower than production models, AIP knows production levels. We can create an AIP agent to look at well deviation and create a schedule to look at those wells," end quote. For all that capability, Babin said humans are the most important part of the equation. Quote, "Where I see AI used well is when people say, this is what I want to do differently, use AI to generate better results, improve margins, improve lifting costs. Where AI doesn't go well is when people look at the technology first and hope it goes well," he said. Quote, "No engineer I've met has made decisions on a well because a machine told him to," he added. The growth of data centers and their need for power makes oil and gas even more important, he said. The company was founded to work with intelligence and defense and has been working in the energy sector about 10 years, Babin said. Besides APA, he said Palantir has worked with ExxonMobil and Kinder Morgan, among others. "As nice as it is to announce new clients," quote, "I'm more excited to announce renewals," he said. "The best referral is an existing customer's renewal," end quote. Imperative Chemical Partners acquires Performance Chemical. Imperative Chemical Partners has made its second significant acquisition of the year. The Midland-based company is acquiring Performance Chemical Company, which provides specialty chemical solutions primarily serving midstream and production operators in the oil and gas industry. It follows Imperative's acquisition of Western Chemical and represents a key step in expanding its depth and breadth of services primarily to midstream customers throughout the United States. Performance Chemical, also headquartered in Midland, was founded in 2009 and offers customized chemical formulations and field application services to protect assets, provide flow assurance, and manage produced water for midstream and upstream oil and gas infrastructure. Jerry and Burl Fuller, Performance Chemical's chief executive officer and president, will retire after more than 15 years with the company. Quote, "This acquisition is a strategic milestone, expanding our operations to provide best-in-class specialty chemical solutions to our nation's critical midstream and producing infrastructure and enables us to continue delivering the highest level of customer service by further scaling our operations, said Brian Havens, Chief Executive Officer of Imperative, in a statement. Continuing the quote, additionally, this investment marks another exciting milestone in our ongoing search to identify and acquire value-enhancing organizations that align with our mission and long-term goals, end quote.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.